1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There were mostly peaceful protests across the country over the weekend after the Memphis Police Department released body cam video of Tyre Nichols' beating at the hands of five officers during a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Memphis Church Pastor Gilbert Washington.
We're praying for that young man's family, for his loved ones, for his friends. They're hurting. And we're hurting as well.
CBS's Jared Hill.
A February 17th bond arraignment hearing has been scheduled for the five ex-officers involved, according to Shelby County online court records. Each faces multiple charges, including second-degree murder.
Officials in northwestern Pakistan believe a suicide bomber targeted a mosque in Peshawar today, killing at least 27 worshippers and wounding as many as 147 others. The BBC's Caroline Davies.
A police official told the BBC that part of the mosque's wall collapsed with the force of the blast. Lady Reading Hospital in Peshawar has declared an emergency. They told the BBC that they were still receiving those injured in the explosion. Unverified images on local media show half a wall caved in. The mosque covered in bricks and debris as people clamber over the rubble to escape.
In Cairo today, camera snapping away as Secretary of State Blinken met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Blinken says he raised concerns about human rights issues ahead of a meeting in Jerusalem with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to discuss a new surge of Israeli-Palestinian violence. The Chiefs and the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
Racing around the edge, Scott is in! Touchdown, Philadelphia!
Philly crushed the 49ers 31-7 to win the NFC Championship on Fox. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
This is something we all dream about, and we get to do it because, you know, we did it better than anybody else in the NFC this year.
The Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20 to take the AFC Championship. Super Bowl 57, a week from Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden will go head-to-head over the nation's debt ceiling when they meet Wednesday. Republicans insist on budget cuts before they raise the borrowing limit. Speaker McCarthy telling CBS's Face the Nation.
I want to make sure we're protected in our defense spending, but I want to make sure it's effective and efficient. I want to look at every single dollar we're spending, no matter where it's being spent. I want to eliminate waste wherever it is.
The president insists negotiating over raising the debt ceiling could trigger a recession. No school today in Woburn, Massachusetts. Teachers like Eric Scarborough are on strike.
It's unfortunate that we have to do this, but you get to a point where you've been pushed too far.
S&P futures down 35. Dow futures off 205. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, February 2nd. The Southwood County Airport Commission will meet at 8 a.m. in the Airport Terminal Building at Alexander Field in Wisconsin Rapids. The Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Highway Department Conference Room in Wisconsin Rapids. In Portage County, the Local Emergency Planning Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m., and the Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Special Board Meeting will take place at 4 p.m. There will be live music at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center on Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Pete Revel and friends will be playing in the Art Gallery at the Cultural Center on 8th Street South. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet will have a concert at the Arts Council in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday. This five-piece brass group is composed of faculty from the Mead-Witter School of Music in Madison. The show begins at 7:30 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 11 overnight under partly cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow, chance of flurries, high temperatures reach up to 17. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 11 below. Single digits above zero Friday, turning much warmer on Saturday with highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm feeling dandy. I'm telling you. Peach keen, I say that too. And I mean it when I say peach keen.
All right.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome back to the noon hour, the lunch hour, the educational hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matinera is on the board. Of course, since it's Wednesday, Mr. Greg Bach is here. And for this hour, class is in session. Class is in session. As far as we know a lot of things, but there's a lot of things we don't know. And a lot of which is anything having to do with having gone to law school.
Yeah.
Except you love case law, so maybe you know a little bit more than I do.
I love case law. I love that stuff. I'm a dork.
But because we, as our civic obligation is coming up to vote, and it is very important, and it could. The future of our state it's no understatement to say the future of our state is riding on this Wisconsin Supreme Court election that is coming up with the primary February 21st and then the general April 4th. But it's one thing for us to continue to just talk about the candidates. But I think for a lot of us, electing and voting for a justice is so different than every other elected official that is supposed to represent us either in the legislature or our local government. Because for me, you know, judges and justices, they can't talk in hypotheticals. They have to talk in the case in front of them. And mm-hmm. So as we listen to them on these forums, as we look at their background, most of us who have no legal knowledge or interact with the legal system, how do we judge them and vote for them as candidates? So that is all to say.
Pun.
Class in session with Professor Santel.
Hardly. But we'll try. We'll give it a shot.
Jim Santel is back. Host of Morning Cannolis, right here on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays at from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. But more importantly, he spent 30 years as a criminal prosecutor and civil litigator with the United States Department of Justice. And so he knows a thing or two.
A little bit about a narrow area, Kristen. But great to be with you and Jane and Greg today. And let's talk about all those important issues.
So let's talk from the very beginning as far as, let's just give a overview of the different court systems, because we're talking about Judge Doro, who a lot of name recognition because she was judging over a criminal case. But that is very different than the kinds of cases the Wisconsin Supreme Court sees. And so kind of in the landscape of the different kinds of judges we have, just let's say in Wisconsin and not even get to the
federal courts, yes. Right, which are parallel in many ways, but you're absolutely right to start there because the state courts most often have an impact upon people's lives locally, right? So we have in the state of Wisconsin sort of a tri-level separation of courts. when you go in, when you file a lawsuit here in Waukesha County, you appear before a circuit court judge. And that's a trial court, right? And so you can bring in all sorts of different claims. We've got, obviously, family court, children's court, tort actions, employment actions, contract actions, all kinds of things, kind of a very broad, broad jurisdiction. And that's the court of first impression, as it's sometimes called. That's where you get a jury that will often take a look at your case, decide on the verdict in those cases. That's what we see sort of on television on a regular basis. Those are the circuit courts in Wisconsin.
Is that what Judge Judy is?
You know, exactly, right? Right, exactly. And, and believe it or not, there are 257 circuit judges in our 72 counties. And so, again, obviously dispersed. You've got some counties in upstate Wisconsin where there's just one judge, a couple of counties where they share a judge just because the population isn't as great. Milwaukee County, of course, has the most, 47 judges. Waukesha, we're probably a close second in that, those kinds of demographics. But those are the judges that try the cases that you may bring into court on a daily basis. Let us suppose that you're unhappy, which is often the case, with the result that a jury may give or a judge may give, a court may render. What is your remedy? Well, again, the Wisconsin system, you've got courts of appeals, and you can quite literally appeal that judgment to the courts of appeals. Again, in the state of Wisconsin, we've got four different appeals courts, 16 judges in four different districts, and all of those judges take cases from the lower courts, from the trial courts, and they decide whether there are errors made, mistakes made at the lower level. The important thing for civics lessons this morning, which is what we're talking about, is that those are not trial courts. You're not going to get another jury is not going to look at your case at the appellate court level. You're simply going to have judges maybe engaging you on memorandums, briefs back and forth, maybe having oral argument with you and asking, okay, why are you here? What happened at the lower court that you're unhappy about? And they're sometimes called a correcting court. If indeed something happened with the jury, if there's some evidentiary matter that came in that should not have, something wrong happened at the lower court, and the judges at the appellate court level agree with you, they have the opportunity to do one of two things. They can either affirm what happened and say, no, Jim, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Your case was properly decided, in which case it's affirmed, and that's where it sits, but for one further process. Or they can say, you know what? I think you're raising a significant issue. There was some jury misconduct here. There was some evidence presented the jury should not have heard. The judge misruled on this particular matter. We're going to send it back down for rehearing. We're going to send it back down for reconsideration. Can even be done, for example, for a sentencing in a criminal case. You can have a conviction, but the defendant can often just appeal the sentence imposed upon her or him. Again, the appeals court reviews all of that and makes a decision about whether what happened below is right or wrong. And then, if you're still unhappy with the appellate court decision, that second level, you can appeal to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And you're not always going to get a hearing there. They can choose. They can pick and choose what cases they will take up. And again, we've got seven Supreme Court justices right now, which we're going to talk about during the course of the next few moments and perhaps even the full hour. And those are the ones who will then take a look at whether the appellate court got it right. So you basically get two shots beyond the trial court to determine whether or not your justice has been done. The Supreme Court tends to take decisions, as you indicated, Kristen, or cases and render decisions in cases that have big, significant impact. They're not going to take a case where, okay, the sentence, you know, is probably right, and there's not a new rule of law that needs to be announced. They're not going to take a case necessarily where, even in the civil side of things, where the law is pretty much settled and there was just a disagreement about how it was applied. They are often a Supreme Court, as is our federal Supreme Court, that will announce changes in the law if you advocate for things. We've seen that a lot in the United States Supreme Court recently, right?
One on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, something has happened last year.
Yeah, something happened there. And our Wisconsin Supreme Court does it too, right? In recent years on all the voting issues, right? The line drawing, which we'll get into, I'm sure, as well. Decisions about how you vote, when you vote, those kinds of things. Those are not so much changes. They're interpretations that have a huge effect. Just this broad effect upon how we live our lives generally. The big ticket items is sort of how the Wisconsin Supreme Court will take on cases. They can take on the little matters, but they traditionally do not do that just because they've got so many other matters to attend to.
So then, knowing all that, knowing the different levels, what do you look for as what makes you qualified to run or be, you know, as we're going to get into the difference between appointments and electing,
sure.
But what is the criteria, or should be the criteria, for someone to sit on our highest court in this
state? Sure, right. And I think just by way of backing into that, you hinted at this already. One of the great concerns I think the voting population has is that unlike your assemblymen and assemblywomen, unlike your school board representatives, unlike your assembly people and the senators in the state of Wisconsin, your governor, for the most part, they're in the public media, right? You talk about them here. We see them routinely. The great majority of people, whether good or bad, probably good, do not have connections with the courts, right? Mm-hmm. You bring into courts situations where you've got a dispute, and most of those are often resolved, right? Most people are not involved in the criminal process. There may be victims, there may be witnesses, but again, the great majority do not see judges on a daily basis in the way we see our other elected officials. And so that's hurdle number one. And to your first point, how do we get to find out who is good and perhaps who is not qualified? I would offer just these broad tenets, which, again, I know you're going, perhaps many people when I talk about this sort of roll their eyes. You want someone, of course, who in their demeanor, in their history, you want someone who does have experience on the bench. Doesn't always have to be. The circuit court judges are often lawyers who practiced, who then become either appointed initially and then run for those positions. You want someone who brings to all of that a sense of fairness. And again, that sounds very, very broad and very, very aspirational, but it's true. You want somebody who is hardworking. You want somebody who recognizes that this is a lot of work, and to get it right takes time. You've got to wrestle with important issues. You want to treat people decently. You want to make certain that everybody has their day in court. Due process is an important part of this. You want to have people, candidly, who are smart. They don't have to be razor smart. I'm not in that category, but you want people who understand basically how to analyze things. Critical thinking is important. You don't have to be at the top of your law school class to be a judge, but you want to have people who bring together that experience, that perspective on doing what is right, and bringing to the decisions that they make a nonpartisan, apolitical approach to making certain that justice is done with respect to you and to Greg and to Jane and to me and all the other litigants who might be before them, and bringing to that all of the things that they can muster when it comes to basic, fair, and decent decision-making.
And that is in an ideal world.
It is an ideal world, absolutely.
And when, because I don't want to ask another question because we're not going to have time for you to answer it before we have to go to our next break, but to set up what we're going to talk about when we come back, the nonpartisan nature is not quite where we're at.
It is
in
not.
Our, and hasn't been for 20 years.
Yes,
And so coming back to in the real world of where we're at as a state right now in Wisconsin, it is partisan, even though it's a nonpartisan state. And so we're in this situation where there are two conservatives, two liberals. And so taking some of the qualifications and criteria you just talked about and applying it more in real life situations of deciding between these two people, if you know which side you fall on, is what we're going to talk about when we come back. Jim Santel is our guest. Greg Bach is here. Jay Mettner is on the board. I am Kristen Bry. Stick around.
They better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge. He is the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge. He is the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge.
But Ho Chi Minh, sip rice wine and chase him a gin. Won't take long, that's a miss my guess. I have you out of this doggone mess. I set up cable to Bolly Mac. Let them know I'm coming back. Sit right down with Rocky Nicks. Teach them both some of Pygmy's tricks. You son of a gun, you.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth advocate programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Choice for News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
She's got Chevy, she's got cream. That's so good, they'll make me scream. I'm in love with the queen of cannoli. She's got a gold and a cherry. She's the girl I'm gonna marry. I'm in love with the queen of cannoli.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here because it's Wednesday. Gene Mattner is on the board, and our guest for really the whole hour, because we have a lot to get into.
We do.
Is former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, also host of Morning Cannolis. You can check his show out on the Civic Media Network from 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings. Thus, the great song choice. Thank you, Jane. So before we went to break, I had said, in the ideal world, you had a great explanation of what we should be looking for in this very nonpartisan, objective position of our, not only just our Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, but there's other courts that we elect.
Absolutely.
And yet that is not our reality. Our reality is that for almost two decades, these races have become hyper-partisan with interest groups spending every year more and more money to get someone on the court who they may have to go actually litigate in front of.
Then
the justices do not have to recuse themselves, which is a whole other thing. But in the situation that we're in now, we have two left-leaning, Democratic-backed, even though there's less endorsements happening, and then we have two right-leaning conservative candidates. And has this happened in recent history as far as the kind of the even split in the primary?
We'd have to go back and do the math on that specifically. We certainly have had races in the past where we have had three people running, sometimes two. We've never had a group of, for example, like seven or eight or even 15.
Not like the governor's race in 2018.
That's what I'm thinking of, right? And because a lot of that does sort of winnow and sift even before people announce, right? I think a lot of the judges look around and say, okay, who is running? I'd like to do this, but if I'm going to split a voting block, I'm not going to do that. So for the most part, we have had a handful in the past. This, Kristen, as you just said, presents some very, I shouldn't say unique, but perhaps atypical options here. And we don't know exactly how this is going to play out just because, as you indicated, after my highfalutin discussion about all of the aspirations for justices, we know basically who is on the, forgive me, the left and who is on the right here. And those messages are plainly out there. The candidates themselves will not say that because, again, we engage in this, forgive me once again, fiction with a capital F, that this is not partisan and they're not bringing to this any political views. But we know how these campaigns are actually conducted. And so what we do have here is a 2-2 split. And there are an awful lot of people out there right now, me, you, all of us included, thinking about how this could play out. The other part of this, which I suspect we're going to get into as well, is the extent to which money plays a role in this. I mentioned in your first segment that most populace does not know, and maybe some differences here. Obviously, Daniel Kelly's been on the bench before. Doro Plainly, having presided over the Daryl Brooks trial here recently. The other two in Milwaukee and Madison also have some notoriety. But regrettably, once again, money is going to play such a huge role in this. We have one candidate already who's got some commercials up, people dumping millions of dollars into this race to try to convince you that all those things that I described before do attach to a particular candidate. And while you might say, well, gee, that's the way it is, and that's a good thing. On the other hand, what I would like to see, of course, would be just rapid fire debates, opportunities for candidates to get on this program, others, all of them, where we talk about judicial philosophy. Maybe not specifically in case particular circumstances, but let's talk about what you bring. What is your view about law enforcement? What is your view about employment and discrimination? What is your view about policing in America? What is your view about healthcare? Those kinds of things in the abstract. Those questions are appropriate for justices, candidates for the bench to talk about, and we should really be flooding America and the state of Wisconsin with an awful lot of information among the voting population about what makes these people tick, and not simply responding to the 30-second commercial that is going to show up, and the 60-second commercial that gives you a sense of who they are, but again, regrettably, as we have seen, also engages in the sound bites, those dog whistles that are out there. And that's when, especially when it comes to judges, that's when the system goes awry.
Because it's also, you know, it's a terrible thing, in my opinion, already, that even for our elected officials, whether it's as high as U.S. senator and governors, but also our state officials, it's like, do I like this person?
Right, right.
And, you know, I've always said being a politician is one of the few jobs, if one of the only jobs, where what it takes to get the job mm-hmm. is a completely different skill set than being good at the job once
right,
you have it.
Right. Right.
Being good at campaigning is very different than governing.
Governing, absolutely.
And now it feels even more, I'm sorry, but ridiculous that we're going to vote someone to have a 10-year term mm-hmm. based on, like, do we like this person?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and, I mean, one of the things for me is, like, I don't so much mind seeing a commercial for a judge, a candidate for a judge, if they just simply, if it was just like, this is so-and-so, they went to this school, this is right. what they've done, these are their achievements, basically putting a CV up on the TV.
Absolutely.
What I can't stand to see are these negative attack ads mm-hmm. where they try to paint a judge as like, they let this person out of prison.
Right, right.
And then they went on to kill a family of goats.
Right, right.
You know, like, so, like, if the advertisement for the judges could just be simply, this is who they are.
Right, right.
I'm fine with
this. This is where they have served. These are the areas that they have yep. practiced in, those kinds of things. And to your point, again, I will identify what I think, as I've said this on this broadcast, others of civic media here. One of the concerns, without talking about the merits of her candidacy, Jennifer Doro's publicity is premised upon, admittedly, her very high profile mm-hmm. Engagement in one case, right? And there's an awful lot of folks out there saying, well, gee, look at what she did there. She is terrific. Mm-hmm. And you know what? She may or may not have done a good job in that. But again, to your point, Greg, sampling that and even promoting that and saying, I'm the one who sentenced Darrell Brooks to a lifetime in prison. Judges do that all the time, yeah. and we should be judging them based upon a 15 or 20-year history of that. I mean, figuring out, overall, what is their approach to violent crime? What is their approach to white-collar crime? And it concerns me that Wisconsin may be focusing, again, not just on the commercials, as you appropriately said, but also upon the notoriety that comes from one case. A big case, admittedly, but one case. There are not a lot of those cases come along every single docket.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, will be here when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
She's got a Rico Dove and a Jerry. She's the girl I'm going to marry.
A progressive voice from B.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how. And we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. A 70s and 80s rock tribute band with local ties is returning to the area to celebrate their 10th anniversary. Rising Phoenix will be performing at the Fallback in Kellner on February 4th. The group is comprised of lead singer Matt Burnt from Oshkosh, bass player Josh Escher from Appleton, our very own Todd Ashbeck from Wisconsin Rapids on lead guitar and vocals, drummer Jerry Anderson from Marshfield, and guitar player Craig Mitchell from Hancock. See them February 4th at the Fallback in Kellner. The federal COVID-19 emergency declarations are set to end in May. This means control over things like testing and vaccines will be handed over to the pharmaceutical companies instead of the federal government. While it only costs around $3 to make, Moderna plans to increase the price of the COVID-19 vaccine 400% to $130 per shot. That cost will soon fall on the consumer or insurance companies for those who have coverage. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 11 overnight under partly cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow, chance of flurries, high temperatures reach up to 17. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 11 below. Single digits above zero Friday, turning much warmer on Saturday with highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
Differently than maybe other people are talking about it as far as the drama,
right,
and maybe some of the infighting that's happening
right,
on the
right,
on the right,
right
side,
right,
and all of this stuff, and trying to actually give more of a foundational education, because it's kind of a weird thing that we elect justices.
It is. And so to that point, I know that all of your listeners, I know Greg does this routinely, pulls out his copy of the Federalist Papers every night and does a selective reading. Don't you do that,
I have
Greg,
it on
right?
My audiobooks.
There you go, right there. And so he does that. And Jane does it every so often too as well, I know. So this issue about elected versus appointed judges, it's huge, right? And you think, okay, which one of those should we choose? Mm-hmm. And in the federal system, as you know, those folks like John Jay and Alexander Hamilton and others decided to go with appointed judges. And we've got this process where the president, basically the senators, but nominates somebody. The Senate then confirms them. And then, because the Constitution talks about staying in those offices during periods of good behavior, that's interpreted to be life. And so we've got appointed judges at the federal district court level, the trial court level, at the appellate court level, and at the Supreme Court level as well. In Wisconsin, of course, and many other states, we've got elected judges. Now, there's a little wrinkle in that. If there's a vacancy, of course, as we've seen recently, the governor can appoint a judge to serve in that vacant position until there is an election. But we've got elected judges. The two, there are ups and downs to both of them. The notion of appointed judges, what is it? You're not subject to the editorial page, if you will. You're not, if you make a decision and the community decides, gee, that's not a good decision, you're not swayed by public opinion. You're not swayed by the latest whims, if you will, of the community that may or may not be the premised upon justice. In the elective side of things, yes, you're responsible to the community, but that's also a concern, right? Mm-hmm. If indeed you're up for election every 6 years, every 10 years, Kristen, as you said, for the Supreme Court, are you in some way always thinking about the next election when you are writing your decisions about what justice should be? That, too, is a problem. And so there's no good answer to this. We've got this split system. Right now in the state of Wisconsin, it's the people who decide who's going to serve on the circuit court, the appellate court, and yes, the Supreme Court. And it underscores the importance of what you're doing, you and Greg and Jane are doing today, which is, okay, that's our system. Mm-hmm. Let's inform people. Let's be informed. And so that we can make a wise decision among these four coming up in just a few weeks, among two coming up in April. And so that whoever wins in the end is not simply the product of lots of money and lots of commercials and just the public whim, but is instead at least somewhat the product of an informed populace that has taken the time to listen to this show, listen to other times of information, gone to those debates which should be happening around the state, and made some decisions based upon their in-depth understanding of who these judges are, to the point that Greg just made. Who these people are, where they come from, what their experience has been, what your basic approach is on, and they do differ. Things like interpreting the Constitution. There's a difference, as we know well, about theories that. Are you a strict constructionist who says, I'm going to look at the language? Or are you someone who says, you know what, a constitution, laws have got to be understood in the context of the world in which we live today? I think I suspect you and maybe most of your listeners subscribe to the second of those. That's a good question to ask a justice or a judge. How do you interpret the law? What is your approach? Is it 2023 or is it 1793 that you look to in deciding how you interpret the law?
Or what was it with, and granted, this is not, but what's his face reference in his,
well,
like 1492?
Absolutely. We're going back to fifth century views about life and death and birth and pregnancy. And frankly, to go off on that for just a moment or so, one of the concerns about this present United States Supreme Court is this focus on history, which is looking back. It's not just privacy rights. It's guns as well, right? It's all these things. It's healthcare. It's education. Looking back and saying, well, you know, where did we come from? That's helpful as a starting point. But gosh, look around us in 2023. Medicine today is hugely different than it was even back in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was decided, right? We know that we can keep fetuses viable outside the womb much more quickly than we could before. All those things have changed wildly. They've changed since, I would offer, 5-10 years ago. And so this notion of a living law and the judges bring to that this critical analysis, that's what I would look for, and that's what I would pierce when I try to ask these judges questions.
And so the two big things before we have to let you go, because this is already going by so quickly, is I think on the one side is with the idealist criteria, yes, we put out, how do you break down the candidates that we are in front of us?
Sure. And so My own view is, if you look at non-former Justice Kelly, less of an appellate record, obviously, for Judge Doro, you've got a view that I think is, again, we hate these labels because, again, it's not applied routinely, but it's a whole lot more, if you go back to notions of strict construction and even history we're talking about, I think they would ally themselves a whole lot more with that side of the political aisle, if you will. My sense is that Judge Mitchell, Judge Protasevich, are a whole lot more focused on today and the things that need to be decided in a contemporary world. And so I've just given up my views about encouraging people to, as they analyze these judges, looking at their backgrounds in that setting. There's certainly the things that they say about, again, healthcare and education, the role of school boards, so a huge issue these days, that could in fact come to a Supreme Court, an appellate court at some point. How do you view healthcare? Should the law be interpreted in a way that is broad enough to assume that everyone should have healthcare? Or do you narrowly circumscribe that based upon an old law that may have been written, 15, 20 years ago? All those kinds of things, commerce, business issues, all of those things should be asked of them. For the most part, my general view is that the two in the on the left, if you will, are a whole lot more open to interpretation of a good nature. Interpolation, extrapolation, call it what you will, to make certain the law makes sense today and fairness is done today. My sense is, without painting too broad a brush, is that the other two are a whole lot more committed to and even mired, if you will, in an analysis that says, let's look to history, let's look to the strict language. We saw that coming out of our Supreme Court on some of these voting rights cases. What does the language say? And not understanding more broadly, how do we ensure that people vote and that in 2020 and 2022 and 2023, people have access to the polls in a way that makes that language meaningful for the ultimate goal, which is voting and giving people access to the franchise.
We're talking to Jim Santel, who is a former U.S. attorney, about all things kind of beyond my pay grade when it comes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because it's complicated.
It is complicated, but
it's so important. And so I think as we think about the cases that get thrown around that whoever gets elected will be the deciding person, the deciding vote for, what are some of the cases and the issues sure. that are top of mind for you that, and what, how much is knowing the law, is there up? Is there even something to interpret versus this is what the law says? And then my follow-up question is about activist judges.
Absolutely. So we know, well, we've got seven justices right now. Right now it's kind of a 4-3 conservative-liberal approach. Again, sort of not embracing entirely that language, but unless that's the way it is, and we've got obviously one justice who is retiring. Thus, you could get a 4-3 split in the opposite direction. What's coming up? Plainly, we've got the issue of abortion. We know that our attorney general right now is arguing about whether or not this 19th century law should be interpreted strictly or should be, discarded effectively. That's issue. Privacy rights more generally could come up before the Supreme Court. We mentioned already voting rights. Is it possible to revisit the lines that were drawn, the decision made by the Supreme Court and Brian Hagedorn's decision to go with the Republican maps? You bet it is. Mm. If you and Jane and Greg here say, you know what, I've been disenfranchised by virtue of lines drawn in my community. I've been cracked and I've been packed. And as a result of that, I can show now in the 2022 election that we just had that my vote was somehow eliminated or at least not promoted to the point that I would get a representative. Can I go back in as standing and bring that case? Sure, I can. It comes up to the circuit court, the appellate court, but you could revisit that. You could revisit challenges once again to the things like early voting, absentee voting, balloting, all those kinds of things. If indeed you've got an individual once again comes forward and says, I have been harmed by the law as it is, all of those things, that's a fluid law. We could go back and talk again about healthcare decisions, right? If once again, you've got individuals who say, under the present circumstances of Wisconsin state law, I am not getting access to the healthcare today in 2023, percolating up through the courts once again, getting to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Frankly, I hesitate to say the sky is the limit, But the importance of this, again, as you indicated, Kristen, a 10-year term for this justice, this person, whoever they will be, will have a huge impact upon virtually everything. The other thing I don't mean to minimize is just basic business. The reason why we have courts in many ways is to attract business and commerce, right? So that if there are contracts that need to be enforced, companies coming to Wisconsin can say, you know what? I know that there's a court that will take my case on seriously, and I will get a good result for commercial purposes, for business reasons, employment issues, all those kinds of things. They do a huge amount of tax law, real estate issues across the board, kind of the gritty stuff. All of those things are on the docket, if you will. And that's why, without going into specific detail about particular cases, the population should ask these candidates, how do they feel generally about the importance of commerce and business, about healthcare, about education, and yes, go back to privacy rights. Do you think that in the Wisconsin Constitution, there is an implicit, if not explicit, right to privacy that protects everything from decisions about medical care to same-sex marriage to interracial marriage to right to make decisions about who your family is? What do you think about that, judge or justice? What do you think about all of those kinds of issues? And what do you view about the extent to which voting should be something that judges resolve and decide based upon an inclination toward letting people vote and not putting up hurdles? Those are broad questions that judges and candidates of these four should be asked and answered.
And this term activist judge or justice, I think, has been thrown out certainly in regards to the U.S. Supreme Court, but also I think we're going to hear it a lot as far as one, you know, either, I think Dan Kelly's already accused Protasiewicz of being an activist judge. If we don't elect me, they're going to be a bunch of activist judges. And so is that a real term? Is that a real thing? Or is it just something thrown out there as to fire people up as far as this is a bad thing to be an activist judge? Right. Or is it really like there are like, no, that is an activist judge?
So the answer is yes, it is bandied about out there. And I think it gets a bad connotation, if you will, because if you think about it, it comes from what? The word act, right? Action. And that's what we ask judges to do all the time, right? I think it's taken on the connotation that I'm out there in the streets with banners and protesting and doing all sorts of things on social media. And yes, it does have that implication, that connotation now. But I would say the denotation about being a judge who acts on the bench in a way that is justice-based, that's something that they should not run from. Now, if you say that, yes, I will be an active judge, you know, Greg, as you just said before, that's going to be the next commercial that's going to slam that candidate. And this is a judge who doesn't interpret the law, but just goes down his or her path. And that's the concern about it. We use that language for an inappropriate purpose. I look to judges, whether it's in the circuit court when I appear before them, the appellate court, who take action on the merits of cases and who are willing to interpret things in a way that makes sense under the basic rule of law principles.
All right. Well, we still got one more segment with Mr. Jim Santel when we come back. You, a former U.S. attorney. And if you have questions, this is your time. Text him in, call him in, 844-967-2789. We have one more segment to talk about all things legalese with the Legal Eagle, Jim Santel. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. 5:40 a.m., New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jay Matt Nair on the board picking great music as always. And our guest this whole hour has been Mr. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. And Greg Bach is here because it's Wednesdays. And Greg has, I've hogged a lot of the questions, so I'm going to let Greg ask a question.
So going back to what we were talking about a couple of segments ago, as far as, you know, you discussing the way of interpreting your candidates for judges is very important. We saw with former Justice Kelly being appointed, right, not only during the Walker administration being appointed, but being appointed with very, very little experience. There was not a, I remember reading this in the papers. It was a lot of kerfuffle about the fact that he was someone with really no chops, and all of a sudden he's just being foisted into this huge point of power. And now we're seeing him coming back and with, it almost seems like a vengeance on the campaigning side.
Right, right. And when he does now have, by virtue of being on the court previously, he is different from the other four, Greg, just because, as you're indicating, he does have a bit of a judicial record right now. So, to the extent that your listeners are thinking, well, gee, Jim, how do I find out about who these judges are? Kind of tough to do it with the other three because a lot of their decisions are oral, and they've written some things, but not a lot published out there. You can find it. But as to Kelly, you can go back and look at his Supreme Court tenure. It's not extensive. And try to figure out what makes him tick? Mm-hmm. What kinds of things has he decided? And did that lack of experience show itself in his previous performance on the Supreme Court? That's a good question also to ask him about. You know, what is it? I think it's a great question to ask all of them, including him. Why is it you want to be a Supreme Court justice? Hmm. What is it really that does animate you in your brain? Is this, as you just indicated, just a time to, I don't call it payback necessarily, but I just want to get my old job back?
Yeah.
That's not a legitimate reason for doing it, right? Is there something more elevated than that that prompts him to say, I have got not an agenda, but I truly want to serve? And yes, he probably will say that, as will the others. But that's the kind of thing, once again, you can test. Hear what they say when you ask, why do you want to have this job that requires all this work, all this attention, where you're going to get skewered in the media and one side or another, where you do have to run again, admittedly, in 10 years? Why do you want to go through this campaign to get this job? Why is that so? Is it about you? Is it about your notoriety, or is it about something about serving the people of the state of Wisconsin? And they will all say that, but the way in which they say it and the way in which they grab onto fundamental notions about the rule of law and the importance of the experience that they have, three of them have it, having been on the bench, having sentenced people to prison, having resolved cases of horrific disputes between people of commercial and contract nature, deciding all these tough things. That is the kind of thing that, again, they may well say, by virtue of that, I want now to be someone who can correct a lower court. Mm-hmm. I can articulate principles that I would have benefited from at the lower court level. That's a reason for doing it. But first and foremost, it's got to be about service to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And bringing to that some, again, getting back to our very first conversation, that rule of law notion, that I will not be animated by partisan politics. I will not be taking the calls from the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm not going to get a notebook from them. I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to do what, again, my view is, what the law should dictate based upon who we are and what we do in 2023, in this early part of the 21st century.
That's a great answer.
That's
a great answer.
And I feel like Kelly is showing his hand right now and appealing to the sense of politics experience and knowledge.
Right.
Well, he did say, as I was looking up, all right, what's the latest headlines? As of this morning, he said... Taking a page out of the Trump book. Dan Kelly says he was burned by Justice Hagedorn, won't endorse Jennifer Doro if she wins the primary. And so it kind of goes into, this is more like politics that we're used to seeing.
Do they make robes for small babies? Because that's how he's acting, like a small baby.
He's got a little baby cape.
Right.
Little baby cape. Have you heard this rumor that he wears a cape?
You know, I have heard that. Who knows what the truth is.
What?
But right to the larger point is, even that, we haven't talked about the word temperament, right? Attitude, temperament. Yeah. If you're yelling and screaming, if your verbs by their very nature are verbs of violence and anger and retribution, I want a judge who will take the criticism, who will be told from time to time that he or she is wrong, and we'll say, you know what, I agree with you or I disagree with you. Some humility, right? Mm-hmm.
Won't get violent in the court.
Exactly. Won't get violent in the court, whether that's physical or oral violence, those kinds of things. We want this to be a rule of law application consistently that's premised upon respect, even for those people whose views we completely disagree with. That's what America is about. I often say, we said this last time I was on your show, Kristen, you know, reasonable people can disagree about many, many things. Mm-hmm. I'd offer there are some categories of things about which reasonable people should not be disagreeing about, having to do with race and fundamental human rights. Those kinds of things are not debatable.
We can agree to disagree on those, right?
Hope not, right? But there are some things that reasonable people can disagree on, and that's why there's deliberative process that's in the judiciary, that's in our legislature as well, it's in campaigns as well. That's all important. That is in the Federalist Paper that Greg reads every night, that notion of deliberating, right, and being thoughtful when it comes to telling other people, I disagree with you, and let me explain to you why it is that I disagree with you, and then you tell me why you think I'm wrong, mm-hmm. and in that debate... that really should be had in a public domain on substance and not just on glib little throwaway lines. That's where you get to see how people really are.
Well, and I was not living here at the time, but it's still just shocking to me that Michael Gableman and the temperament we've now seen him to have.
Right.
There are people who love that.
But you got someone like Brett Kavanaugh too, who during his confirmation hearings.
Right.
Also needed a baby robe.
Oh, my God. Right. Needed a baby robe and a baby beer. Oh, my God.
Temperament is an important thing and a good thing to be asked about.
I know that this is, Kristen, will
laugh. You only have a minute, so.
I was going to say this. Watch The West Wing, Season 5, Episode 17, The Supremes. It's a beautiful episode about the Supreme Court confirmation process. And it's watching two people who fundamentally disagree with each other disagree without being disagreeable.
Love it.
There you go.
All right. Jim Santel, thank you so much for spending an hour with us.
Always a pleasure to be with the three of you.
This was very educational. I can't wait to share it with people who can't listen during the day because I think this is an important thing for people to consider as they go into the primary and then again in the general.
And vote.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Follow Jim Santel. Listen to his show, Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 on Saturdays on Civic Media. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Lawyers, guns, and money. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Hey! Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov.
/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic
Safety Administration. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.